From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today, the 37th edition of our conversation with Professor Luciana Bone about the history of the Soviet Union. We've been working through some of the myths about Stalin's time at the helm at the Soviet Union. And today, myth number four has to do with the non-aggression pact that was signed between the USSR and Hitler's Germany to buy time for the Soviet Union to build its defenses, also known as the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. And we're going to discuss that today. Luciana, a pleasure to speak with you.
Yes, thank you very much. Indeed, we will be talking about the what is known as the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. So what was it? First of all, the official title of the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact is Treaty of Non-Aggression between Germany and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. It was signed on 24 August 1939. That's just a week before Hitler invaded Poland and set off World War II. I have organized this speech, this conversation, in terms of questions and answers, so I'm going to proceed, but please, with questions and then answers, but please jump in when you want to add, as usual.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Second question, was the Soviet Union alone among European powers to sign such a pact? No. In August 1938, the Soviet Union was the last of the European powers to sign a pact of non-aggression with Germany. Now, some of the pacts signed with Hitler's Germany in the 1930s by European powers were the pact between Germany and Poland in 1934, which, if we follow the Molotov-Ribbentrop nomenclature, we would call it the Hitler-Pilsudski pact, but we don't. Then on 29 September 1938, well a year before the Soviet Union, we had the Munich Agreement, which involved Germany, Great Britain, France, and Italy. And that's 1938, the Munich, it's called the Munich Agreement, but it was really a pact between these four countries to cut up Czechoslovakia. I'll refer to that later. Then we have the Pact of Non-Aggression by Great Britain, which followed by one day the Munich Agreement. So this should be called the Hitler-Chamberlain Pact, but
right.
It isn't.
Right.
Then we have France signing a Pact of Non-Aggression on 6 December 1938, and we should call it the Hitler-Daladier pact, but we don't. And then we have in June of 1939 Pact of Non-Aggression by Estonia, which should be called Selter-Ribbentrop Pact, but it isn't. And finally we have in June of 1939 we have Latvia's Pact of Non-Aggression with Germany, which should be called the Munters-Ribbentrop Pact, but it isn't.
Right. You know what's interesting also, by the way, aside
yeah.
from the fact that there were all of these different agreements entered into between all of these various countries and Germany at that time, you also had, going back to the Treaty of Rapallo in 1922, a series
yeah.
of agreements between Germany and the Soviet Union for non-aggression in 1922, the Berlin Treaty in 1926, and some protocols that were added to that subsequently all the way up through 1935. So, you know, everybody there, I mean, these people are bound by their borders to, you know, be neighbors. Everyone there looking at their common history and the current situation that they found themselves in, entered into treaties to not go to war with each other. And that's the process that they followed until, of course, Hitler went to war with everybody.
Right. There was nothing unusual about the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. You're quite right. Correct. Of course, in the 1920s was the Weimar Republic.
That's right. That wasn't Hitler. That was with Weimar. That's right.
Yeah, it was Weimar, which was cut off by the Versailles Treaty from, you know, from dealing with anybody.
Right. World War One. Right.
At any rate, but that's a different story. So now, next question is, did the Soviet Union invade Poland in 1939 together with Hitler? These two questions, the Poland invasion and the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, go together. And as I proceed, you know, the listeners will realize why I ask this question at this point. What does it have to do with the... They might wonder, what does it have to do with the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact? Well, it does. So I asked that question, and so did the Soviet Union invade Poland? No. The Red Army moved into territories ruled by Poland, that had been ruled by Poland since 1920. The Red Army did not invade Poland together with Hitler, as the impression is given. But in reaction to and after 2 weeks of Hitler's invasion of Poland, this was, you know, the idea was, as will be clearer later, that Hitler and Stalin planned to divide Poland among themselves. But the question, there are so many questions. What was Poland, you know, after Hitler invaded? So here we go. 16 days after Hitler invaded Poland, he made it in September 1st, and 3 weeks after the signing of the so-called Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, the Soviet army occupied, now listen to this, the territory of Polish Belarus, which had belonged to Russia in 1917, and the territory of Western Ukraine, Galicia, which had been a part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and was then given to control of Poland after World War One.
Right.
I hope this is not too intricate. Both these territories had been taken by Poland, that is, so-called Polish Belarus, I mean, it's just Belarus, territories of Belarus, and Western Ukraine. They had been taken by Poland in the Polish-Russian Republic War, that is, after 1920. Now, the majority of people living in these territories were Russian speakers, Russians, particularly in Belarus. I think there was a million difference in Western Ukraine. So this is what, in 1939, now is called Poland. They are basically formerly Russian territories, Tsar Russian territories. So there is a kind of myth in claiming that the Soviet Union invaded Poland. So as we noted, many countries in the 1930s and even before, as you pointed out, countries signed agreements with Hitler. And of course, the most infamous of these was the Munich Agreement, which should be better known as the Munich Betrayal, because in that September of 1938, Hitler convened Benito Mussolini, Britain's Chamberlain, and Francis Daladier to decide the fate of Czechoslovakia, very much like the United States today decides the fate of Syria or Nicaragua or, you know, any other. Now, at this Munich conference agreement betrayal, there was no representative from Czechoslovakia or the USSR at these negotiations. Poland was a kind of fifth wheel in the background because Poland had a fascist government, a nationalist fascist government. Poland eagerly signed the agreement partitioning Czechoslovakia and took for itself a chunk of it. So, dear old Poland and, you know, Polish spirit, it's high now. Nationalism is high in Poland, so they are. There is a distortion of these facts. So today, the nationalist government of Poland says that that the Soviet Union invaded Poland, and now destroys the monuments to the Red Army, for example, which liberated Poland from the Nazis. But the fact is that in 1939. The League of Nations did not condemn the Soviet Union for attacking Poland. It recognized the borders of Western Russia as established as a result of and after the Nazi invasion and occupation of Poland. You see, it was a cause and effect situation. And the invasion of Poland, now if you look at the geographic chart, Warsaw is very close to what is now the western border of Russia. Of Russia today, these names are confusing. But at any rate, so Hitler invaded practically the whole of Poland with a little slice that could still be called Polish. And then it's Polish dominated territories in Belarus and Ukraine. Is that clear?
Yeah, and there's more to it, too. If you look at some of
the course online, go ahead.
Well, that, too. But if you look at some of the lands that were the subject of this 1939 non-aggression pact, among them are the Baltic states, Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia. And those have been, recently, I would say since, the 1980s, the domain of the CIA and the U.S. Efforts to first break up the Warsaw Pact and then the Soviet Union. And now they're more or less the territory for the forward basing of NATO military facilities to Russia's borders. And that includes... which is the interesting thing. I don't think people here in the United States understood when you had German, NATO tanks with Germans rolling through Poland into the Baltic states last summer, what that meant to the people on the ground there, including, the one-third to a half the population of those countries that are Russians.
That's right. And let's not forget that the that when Germany rolled into those Baltic states, there was a cleansing of Jews, too, in Vilnius, etc. So, there's the other thing, that the Hitler's invasion of the 1st of September 1939, what happened is that Poland ceased to exist. There was, after the invasion, the Polish government fled to Bucharest in Romania, leaving the Polish people to their fate. And this happened in Italy, too. Yeah. But German invasion, the king flees, leaves the people.
They always manage to bring their money with them, though. I don't know how they manage that, but they always do, don't they?
Yeah. The fascists, great heroes. Really valiant. So, You know, the Polish government fled to Bucharest in Romania, leaving the Polish people to their fate. There was no way for Germany even to conclude a ceasefire, not that
right.
they cared.
There was no one to sign it. Right.
So Poland was without government. This is why the League of Nations did not condemn the move of the Red Army into Belarus and Western Ukraine, Galicia. They recognized that there were other reasons behind historical from the 18th century on, but they recognized that that was the that there needed to be a border between invading Germany and the Soviet Union.
Right, a buffer.
In fact, the League of Nations throughout the Soviet Union when it invaded Finland, which was Hitler's closest ally.
Right.
And, you know, the Soviet Union attempted that. And they condemned that, but they did not condemn the move of the Red Army into what were called, what is called Poland, incorrectly, since it had held those territories for just, 20 years?
Right. And by the way, for folks that don't understand this, much of Finland was actually Russia for hundreds of years.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, you start to ask questions. You have to start to ask questions. And then
right.
the answers are so complicated, but not really. You know, so anyway. And Poland, this same government that fled, that government was the first in Europe to sign the Pact of Non-Aggression with Hitler, with Hitler's Germany, in 1934, 1 year after Hitler had assumed full power. And this, too, was the government that refused repeated offers of a Pact of Non-Aggression, a sort of an anti-fascist alliance, and protection from the, well, I correct myself, repeated offers of protection and non-aggression pact from the Soviet Union.
Right.
This government had refused those. On the contrary, as we noted, Poland was an accomplice and beneficiary of the Munich Agreement,
right.
Which should be better called collaboration with Hitler.
That's the one they refer to. That's the
yeah.
one. That's the one that they refer to as with Chamberlain as you know, what's the word that they use in
the appeasement?
The appeasement. Yeah, right. That was the
appeasement. Sure, appeasement.
You know,
it was complete cooperation.
Right. Go ahead. You could have Czechoslovakia. Go ahead. No problem. And so everybody took it, like Mel Brooks says, a little slice of Turkey, a little daub of Greece. I took a train back in 1990 from what was then Leningrad to Warsaw, which went through or around Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania into Warsaw. And at the border at the time, and this is while, you know, Poland was still in the Warsaw Pact, or actually had just left, I think, because it was June of 1990, so I think Poland had just left the Soviet arrangement. We had to get out of the car of our train, and then they lifted the cars of the train off the carriage and took them to a parallel track that had other carriages that were a different gauge. They were wider. And the purpose of that was so that Germany could never again roll in military equipment into the Soviet Union using the rails, that the gauge of the rail system that came from Germany through Poland ended there, and a different sized track began there going into the Soviet Union. Yeah, it was interesting, like interesting,
very,
you know, remnant of
very
history.
Interesting. Okay, so next question, why is only the Soviet non-aggression pact called Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact? This is interesting. It's a minor piece of propaganda maneuver, but it's significant. So we know that Ribbentrop was hanged at Nuremberg as a war criminal.
That's right.
The first Nuremberg trial, the trial of the Nazi elite. So coupling Molotov with Ribbentrop is sort of throwing the Soviet foreign minister in the company of a Nazi war criminal. So, for example, the British never referred to the document signed, their non-aggression pact, signed on September 1938 by Adolf Hitler and Great Britain's Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain. They never call it the Hitler-Chamberlain Pact. The Poles, who signed the treaty in 1934, never referred to it as the Pilsudski-Hitler Pact. So the leaders of Poland, Great Britain, and France all shook hands with Hitler. Joseph Stalin never did. So, you know, that's just a bit of...
Right. Hey, you know, the proof is in the pudding, okay? What happened was, as soon as Hitler advanced up to the, you know, portions of Poland that were part of this, you know, agreement, that they prepared for an invasion of the Soviet Union, which they effected within a year and a half afterwards. So,
Yeah. And then the other, I don't remember what number of my questions this is, but then, you know, the question would be this, but didn't the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact have a secret agreement with Germany to divide and share, they say, parts of Europe, Latvia, you know, the Baltic states, which I haven't mentioned? Mm-hmm. Didn't they have a secret agreement? Yes. There were two secret protocols added to the pact. One on the signing of the pact on the night of 23-24 August 1939, 7 days before the Nazi invasion of Poland, and the other secret protocol on 28 September, 28 days after the Nazi invasion of Poland. And these were stipulations that were made in August before the invasion and in September after the invasion of Poland. These were phrased in this way: in the event of the alteration of the present national borders of Poland or the Baltic countries, should they occur after August 23. Now, they occurred in September. Hitler took Poland. Now, the pact is very short. Anybody can read it. It has 7 articles and 2 added protocols. And this is what the fuss is all about, that together Hitler and Soviet and Stalin planned to divide up the loot that supposedly happened at the time of the Hitler and Stalin invasion of Poland, which is, I tried to explain, didn't occur at the same time, didn't occur in harmony. One was the consequence of the other.
Right.
And so what the secret protocols determine is where Nazi Germany will stop and the Soviet Union will begin, meaning that this line, both, you know, in Lithuania and in Poland, beyond that would imply an invasion,
right.
Would imply war between, it would imply a violation of the Pact of Non-Aggression. And these two protocols have this phrase, in the event of the changed situation of the changed political situation of Poland, we will determine that this is the line where Germany will stop, here in the Baltic and here in Ukraine.
That's all. That's exactly right. It was clear,
right?
From watching what Hitler was doing at the time, it was clear that he was, you know, stretching out his arms for that Lebensraum, you know, for that living space, for that... Germany was going to, you know, draw in a deep breath and snatch as much of the world as Hitler thought that it needed. And certainly, having spoken and written of it for something like, at this point, 15 years, the Soviet Union was included within that. And so all of the real estate between the Soviet Union and Germany was to be looked at as a chessboard to prepare for that invasion, which did come pretty shortly thereafter.
That's it. And so I think this is might be my last question. But people might say, wasn't all this dealing and sharing with Hitler proof that the USSR was allied with him?
That's ridiculous.
No, these were measures to protect the Soviet Union from Hitler, not a partnership with Hitler. Now, supposing the Soviet Union had not signed this document, what would have happened? Would Hitler not have attacked Poland? Of course he would have.
Right.
He had already decided, as intelligence shows, to invade Poland in April, as scholars have attested. In addition, and I mean, it's hard to believe that the Soviet Union didn't know that there was an impending invasion of Poland just a week before they signed the pact. It's impossible to believe that they didn't know.
Of course they knew.
So, in addition, if the Soviet Union had not annexed Belarus and Western Ukraine in September 1939, well, Germany would have snapped them up as they did in 1941, and they would have served then in 1939 as the highway to Moscow and Leningrad in 1939, when there is a further complication. The Soviet Union benefited to some degree from the pact by gaining extra time. This is really crucial. And buffered territories. The strength of the Red Army in 1939 compared to 1941 is very, very different. In 1941, the Red Army outmanned and outgunned the army of 1939. In other words, the army was not prepared, especially after the attempted coup of the that was exposed in the Moscow trials.
Right.
Now, Germany had occupied all of what was then Polish territory in 1939. The Wehrmacht would have been that much closer to Moscow and Leningrad. And as we know, in 1941, they besieged Leningrad and came within kilometers, 30, of Moscow. So gaining that time, sure, was crucial.
Absolutely. It ended up being the thing that decided the outcome of the war.
Absolutely.
No matter how many movies they make in Hollywood showing that all of that took place in France with the United States.
Yeah,
we've got to come back to this.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. We're going to have to come back to this next week. And that's going to move us right into myth number 5, which has to do with exactly what happened with the actual war itself. The Soviet Union didn't. This is the myth. The Soviet Union invaded Poland, and not exactly the truth, at least not that time. So, Luciana, thank you so much. It's a pleasure, and I'm really enjoying working through some of this history.
My pleasure with you, Don, always. Thank you.
Thank you. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.